How many of you have witnessed any weirdness in the last few days? My word. Go online and Google Black Friday craziness. 67 million hitsers, and I don't know. It's a weird world. It's a weird world. You look at what's going on in our world, and you see the shenanigans that are abounding. I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I heard two women got in a fight and used tasers. Or at least one of them did on the other. Is that weird? They were probably fighting over towels. People get out and stay all night on the parking lot, and when you listen to what they're waiting for, I can't help but think, okay, so maybe you saved $7 and you froze all night long. And some of them just admit they're not there to buy anything. They're just hanging out. It is a weird world, a weird world. And sometimes, if we're honest, we will wonder, has everyone lost their mind? And then, if we're even more honest, we may say, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? I wonder sometimes why we behave so badly. My brother-in-law, Richard, and my sister-in-law, Darla, and some of their family went to the movies and had a good time, except for the parking lot. It was dangerous on the parking lot. People were going crazy, and there were still parking places available, but they were jockeying for the one that they wanted. Sometimes it seems to me we're desperate for life. I think sometimes, for many people, not for you. Let me say that right now, okay? All of you that were out there all night, you know, whatever. I'm not talking to you now. I'm talking about your neighbors. But for some, I have to think for some, their life has become so ho-hum that they easily slip into things that are so dumb. Crazy world. Tangled minds. Messed up thinking. For years I said to my own daughters, and I've told you this, it's a little saying that came to me from somewhere, I don't know where, but it was this saying, when I would see in our home things getting kind of out of balance, which it certainly did many times, I would sometimes say this, Jesus walked through the world with unhurried grace. Now you think about that sentence, that's been good for me. Because I can get caught up in the madness. I can get caught up in the conquest of another deal. Whether it's Black Friday or Small Business Saturday what is this Monday? Yeah, that's it. And whatever it is, Cyber Monday, whatever it is, we get caught up in that and we forget that, listen, can I say this and let me say it clearly? Christians ought to be the most sane people in the world. We ought not to get caught up in the madness because we're marching to a different drumbeat than the world. The sad thing is that sometimes we get caught in that as well. How do we keep our minds calm while others are losing theirs? That's the question. How do we keep our minds straight when so many others seem to have lost theirs? How do we keep our heads on straight? I want you to take your Bible. We go back to that same passage that you saw a moment ago on the screens. But I want to share with you a message. Now, I will tell you, it's primarily centered in a single verse. But I cannot read this passage in part. I've got to read John's prologue to his gospel. This is John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is the writer, one of the apostles, and of course, one of those the Holy Spirit chose to give us the word. And I want to read it. So if you have your Bible open, we're going to start with verse 1 and go through 18 and then settle in primarily on one verse. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, And without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Powerful words. Words with eternal significance. In verses 1 through 18, John brings us into eternity and points us to our place in God's plan. But what if I told you that one verse out of that 18 is an outline of all human history? I saw some of you already looking back down at your Bible saying, "Whoa!" You know? So today, put on your seatbelts, because I'm going to start at the Garden of Eden and go to the eternal glory at the end of the book. Did you bring your lunch? Huh? No, it won't take that long. But I will tell you that in this text, there is the outline of all human history. But I'll also tell you something else. In this text, there is the outline of your history and mine. I invite your attention back to verse number 5. The Bible says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In a moment, I'll come back to that word, comprehend. But let me just read it again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What I want to do today is to suggest to you three head-straightening truths. Now, for those who feel like you're about to lose your mind, for those that feel like that this world is about to rob you of your sanity, I want to give you three head-straightening truths. Will it change the circumstance? Probably not. But it will change what happens in your heart, and you'll be able to walk through your world with unhurried grace. And those three head-straightening truths are the outline of human history from the time that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden until the time that Jesus says it's all over and wraps up human history. Now, with that in mind, let's see where we're going to start. We're going to start and stay in verse 5, but we're going to start in the middle of it with this word, darkness. Darkness. And of course, when you see that word, it ought to evoke in your mind the biblical metaphors of light and dark. But darkness is a part of the history of the world and the history of our lives. Now, there are many reasons why I love and respect this Bible. There are many reasons why I believe it to be true without any mixture of error. But one of the reasons I believe that with all of my heart is simply this: the Bible tells it like it is. It doesn't sugarcoat it. When it's bad, it says it's bad. When it's good, it says it's good. And one of the words often used to tell it like it is this word, darkness. Darkness. I cannot explain the darkness that's a part of the world. I cannot escape the darkness that is a part of the world. Now, for those of you that are note takers, I'm going to give you just a little sentence. It's one of those head-straightening truths, and so you might want to write it down, but if you don't, that's okay, because it's not going to be hard to remember. So here's the first thing that I think we need in this crazy world that we find ourselves in. Are you ready? The first one is simply this: darkness is expected. Let me say it again. Darkness is expected. When you read this book, you will find from Adam and Eve to this day and to the end of time, there is a darkness that must be dealt with in our lives and in the history of humankind. The serpent tempted Adam and Eve and they fell into darkness. Cain killed his brother Abel and darkness was in the world. And it weaves its way throughout all of human history. Darkness is expected. Let me say it again. Darkness is expected. Open your eyes. Anticipate that in this world you'll have trouble. In this world there'll be pressure. In this world there is darkness. Darkness is. Two of our grandsons, Taylor and Cameron Steele, play in a band that I've not heard, but it's called Kevin and the Walkers. And Cameron posted on Facebook just about 3 or 4 days ago a little quote. And it kind of intrigued me. Here was the quote. Mankind is unkind, man. I thought, that's interesting. Is it true? Well, yes, it's true. Mankind is unkind, man. I sent him back a Facebook. I said, where'd that come from? And he said they'd written a new song and the one who had written it in their band, that was a line that he used. And yet I thought, that is absolutely true. We live in an unkind land, man. And there is darkness in our land. It's moral darkness. We've lost our sense of right and wrong. We live in moral anarchy. Darkness. There is intellectual darkness. We are unable to grasp and understand the truth. We lose that truth because of the rebellion of our heart. There is doctrinal darkness. There is spiritual darkness. There is relational darkness. There is psychological darkness. And the list goes on. And if that were not enough, the darkness is not just out there. There's darkness in the church as well. Now listen, darkness is expected. But I'm not quite through. Because I fully agree with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who says the line between good and evil runs through the human heart. So look up here at the platform. You're seeing a person that's still got some darkness there. Don't mistake it. Don't mistake it. We all deal with darkness, and one of the ways we deal with that darkness, one of the ways I keep my head on straight is this. I remember that darkness is, and I expect it. So when it comes, it does not blow me away. That may not sound like good news to you, but it's nonetheless true. Sometimes we think we can control this thing. We think somehow we can control the darkness. That we can develop a system, and it's often a religious system, that removes the darkness from our life and our children and our circumstances. And I will tell you, I think there are people that get rich with that doctrine. But I will tell you what I believe with all of my heart, and that is this. When it comes to the darkness in this world, controlling it can't be done in this life. So how do you keep your head on straight? You remember this. Darkness is expected. It started in the garden. It continues all the way through human history. So mark it down. Get ready. Be prepared. Forewarned. Forearmed. Remember this. Darkness is expected. Back to verse 5. I like this. And the light shines. Wasn't it Isaiah who in chapter 9 verses 1 and 2 said something like this? The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who live in the valley of the shadow, light has dawned. I love this. See, this is equally part of human history. The truth is, and it is verifiable in every generation, in every home, and in every heart, darkness is expected. But here's your second truth. Light shines. Celebrate it. Light shines. That's what John's saying in verse number 5. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness is, and that's true, but it's not all the truth. Light shines. And when you look back at John chapter 1, verses 4 and 6 through 8, it is crystal clear that he's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I believe, I am the light of the world. Friend, let me tell you something. It is historically accurate that at a point in time, in a little cradle outside or in that town of Bethlehem, that the baby Jesus was born, and when he was born, light shone. And it's still shining. By the way, the language of the text makes it clear. When it says light shines, that is in a tense of that verb that says it shone, and it's still shining today. Light shines. And if I want to walk through this world with my mind straight, my head on straight, I need to remember the light of the world is Jesus Christ, and he shines and he shines and he shines and he keeps on shining. Philip Bliss, hymn writer, wrote this truth in a hymn 1 year before he died. He was in his own home. He wrote the song while passing through the hall to his room. Words and music. Passing through the hall. Let me read you some of the words. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Second verse. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Verse 3. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go, wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. And then that refrain, come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. How do you keep your head on straight when others are losing theirs? Well, this simple truth will greatly help, and it's this: Jesus shines, celebrate it. Last Sunday I said, and I had not planned to say it, but I said it, that Satan wants to rob many of you of your Thanksgiving. I think Satan wants to rob many of us of our celebration at Christmas time. I do. We get so tired of the commercialism and all of the stuff, and some of us then move into the Scrooge mentality. Because of the abuses, we become Scrooges. I'm now going to ask you if the person next to you is a bah humbug person. I'm not going to ask that. It's taken Debbie 44 plus years to get me out of some of that, because I find myself slipping into that if I'm not careful. But listen to me, we have something to celebrate this year. The light shines. Celebrate it. Don't let Satan rob you of your Christmas cheer. And I will tell you something, even in the darkness of your broken heart, the light's still shining. If you're a child of God, your light will never go out. Friends, Jesus came into this dark world and He shines. Celebrate His coming. Celebrate Christmas. Celebrate in the darkness. Celebrate in the light. Remember, Jesus shines. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. Now, remember, I said this verse spanned all of human history. So where are we? Well, you go back to the fall in the garden. Adam and Eve tempted, gave into the temptation, cast out of the garden. And darkness reigned for thousands of years. Darkness, darkness, darkness. Seemingly unending darkness. And then there came that moment. Oh, could you see it from heaven's glory? Then came that morning when the light shone in the face of a baby. What a strange way to save the world indeed. Light shines. And when I remember that, Jesus shines. Light shines. Celebrate it. One more thing that takes us to a point of time from the time that He was born till now, and the light's still shining. But this verse is not through. Look at it. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. There's your first two. The darkness, historically, followed by the light, Jesus Christ shining. But then watch what it says. And the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm reading from the New King James Version. However, my New King James Version itself gives an alternate translation of that word comprehend. And the alternate translation is overcome. So let me read it that way. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And so I checked, and the ESV said overcome. And the Holman Christian Standard Bible said overcome. And the NIV said overcome. And the New Living Translation said extinguish. The darkness could not extinguish it. And the Contemporary English Version said the darkness has never put it out. The darkness has never put it out. Listen to me. The Son of God will never be eclipsed by the darkness of the devil. Huh? The Son of God will never be eclipsed by the darkness of the devil. So here is your third word, and it's a hope-filled word. Listen, darkness is, expect it. That's the first one. Secondly, Jesus shines. Light shines. Light shines. Celebrate it. But here's a third one. You're going to like this. Light wins. Anticipate it. Light wins. And I'm so glad to stand before you and tell you light wins. You got your Bible? Quickly now. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want you to see what John saw. Revelation chapter 21, beginning with verse number 22. Here it is. You got it? Your Bible open? Let's go. Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple in it. He's talking about that New Jerusalem, that heavenly city. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Ladies and gentlemen, light wins. Anticipate it. Oh, from Adam to Christ, darkness is expected. From Christ to the end of the age, Christ shines, celebrated. And at the end of it all, light wins, anticipated. Now, we will not end this without taking a moment for me to ask about your personal story. Darkness is there. I don't need to question that. I already know that. Because We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Darkness is. I expect it. In me and in you, it is. It's part of my history, part of my story. Here's my question. Has Jesus shone in your heart? Has the light dawned in your heart? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those they won't believe, and God has to send the light. Just like He stepped out on nothing and said, "Let there be light," He has to do that in my life and yours. Has it happened? Has it happened? Is that part of your story? Can you say to me today, "Pastor, the light has shone into my heart. Jesus has shone into my heart." If you can say that, you can also say, "I'm going to be going through some battles, but I know how the story ends, and we win. Light wins." Now, what if that's not yet your story? Verse 12, John's Gospel, here it is. The Bible says, well, if you go back to verse 11, He came to His own. What does that mean? The things He created, the world He created, He came to His own things. And then it said, He came to His own, and His own, what does that word "own" mean? Different. It means His own people. His own people. And they did not receive Him. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Is that part of your story? Can you say today, "I have believed and I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior"? You'll still have to admit darkness is. You'll still have to acknowledge your need for that light to keep on shining. Light will do that, but then you can hold on to the truth that light wins. Just in case you've not ever asked Jesus into your heart, close your eyes right now. Just in case you've never asked the light of God to shine in your heart. You know the darkness is there. I don't need to convince you of that. But you've never repented. You've never turned away from that darkness and turned away from that sin and put your trust totally in Jesus Christ. And friend, listen, the Bible says if you'll call on the name of the Lord, believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, willing to call Him Lord, that you can be saved. And for me, that started as a 12-year-old boy on my knees asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Oh, I knew that I was a sinner, and I acknowledged it to Him in prayer. And I knew that Jesus was my Savior, the Savior of the world. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart and life. And I knew the Word of God was true. And the Word says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on His name. Would you pray right now? Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that You're the Son of God who died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I'm ready. I'm ready to receive You. I'm ready to give You my life, broken though it is. I'm ready to give You my heart. Jesus, come in right now. And I will say, if you prayed that prayer, in a moment I'm going to give you a grand opportunity to come out of the balcony or off the main level and take somebody by the hand and say, "I just want you to know I prayed to receive Christ today." Oh, Father, thank You for Your Word, Your living Word, sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank You for Jesus Christ, the living Word. Thank You that even in the darkness, the light shines, and the darkness cannot extinguish the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. The light wins every time. The light wins. And Father God, thank You for that. And whatever needs to happen in this time, let it be. For those who have come to faith, may they profess it gladly, gladly. For those who need believers' baptism in order to take that first step of obedience, let them come today. For those who need a church home, let them come today. And Father, for those who just need to make an altar here and pray for themselves or someone else, let them come today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.